Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Man, we're really excited to be here. It's awesome to get started. And so now we take off.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
Labs, after day three of training camp practice yesterday, you know, I thought we had it all figured out. Or excuse me, after day two, I thought we had it all figured out. We named the starting quarterback Mitch Trubisky. He dominated seven shots. The team was gelling. Then yesterday happens, and the quarterbacks can never get it going. I don't know who's going to be the starter now. The team can't stop fighting with each other. I go to log on to your practice report, get a little optimism because you're just always sunshine and rainbows there, and you're saying they can never get things going. It's just one of those days at camp. I mean, a total 180 from my attitude just 2 days ago, Labs. I can't believe it.
That's what training camp is. Ride the roller coaster. Get on, and you know the bar that is in front of you when they put that thing down, you know, to strap you and hold on, because it's part of the test of this process, because you know, as we were talking about other days, anybody can do it once in a row. It's how many days in a row can you do it? How do you bounce back from, you know, a bad night's sleep? Or you know, it's just one of those days. And that was yesterday. I kind of thought, you know, that the weather on, today is Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, day two.
Thursday.
Yeah. See, I did that too in the open. It's hard to keep track already, man. They're already blurring together.
Yeah. Then, because they're all the same. That's the thing. They are. A lot of times, you know, you look at the schedule and it's, you know, what day is it? What's the date? Where are we here? So I kind of thought that it might have been because of the rain. You know, maybe that's the day that just kind of is just pulling teeth. But they got through that one pretty good. So it wasn't then. And then, you know, you fool yourself into thinking, well, hey, maybe, you know, there isn't going to be one of those. Well, there was. And it was yesterday. And you just felt it. I mean, I even was tired of watching padless practice. I can imagine the players are tired of participating. You know, you're not allowed, excuse me, you're not allowed to hit anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
They're trying to protect the players, but, you know, guys are getting short and they're tired of playing against the same guys all the time. It was, like I said, it's just one of those days, and that was yesterday. Hopefully today is different. You know, the sun's out already. Not supposed to rain at all up here. And tomorrow's a day off. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel for these guys, and so we'll see how they respond.
I mean, nothing really illustrates what you said about these guys really want to start to put the pads on than the hit that Kazi, the safety, laid on Calvin Austin. I mean, it was one of the talks of practice yesterday. He came over and just really lit him up for without having pads on. So I'm sure the players are really chomping at the bit to strap up on Monday and get things going. And like you said, light at the end of the tunnel today, so I'm sure the players are going to do a little bit better. You know, they want to get through this practice, but they want to do it the right way, especially, you know, bouncing back from yesterday. I'm sure Coach Tomlin gave him a decent earful at the night film session, saying, hey, you know, we got to bounce back from this. We got to use this as a learning opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, for me, as torturous as it was, I'm sure that the coaches, you know, were able to find some things good and then also use the bad you know, to give it some value. You know, you want it to have some value. And I'm sure that they were able to find some things to do just that.
Well, as he always does, Coach T spoke to the media following the practice yesterday. So let's hear from Coach Tomlin and his thoughts following day three's practice.
Man, another awesome day of team development. Nice weather today. But, you know, we don't complain about weather. We don't have control over that. It's about what we do and the culture that we're working to create. The guys are working extremely hard and growing. There's some ebb and flow. Obviously, when you're competing Steelers versus Steelers, and we'll look at the tape and use that as a tool to learn and develop individually and collectively. From a health standpoint, not a lot new to talk about. Just an update on some guys I talked to you about yesterday. Freiermuth has a hamstring. It probably can be characterized as day-to-day. Levi Wallace is ill. It could be characterized as day-to-day. His status quo for the others. Chase Claypool wasn't able to finish. He has a shoulder injury. It's being evaluated. Don't know the severity of it. I'll let you know when I do. But again, that's a component of this thing, that's team development. There are people that are going to end up on this list, and it's less about the people that are on this list. We acknowledge that injury is a part of it. Unfortunately, we tend to focus our energies on the opportunity that it may create for others. Freiermuth's not working today, man, so it's an opportunity for Jace to work and show his skills in a different group, for example. And that's something that we talked about last night as a team. We'll continue to highlight because I want these guys to know that in an environment like this, opportunity is going to knock. You never know when it's going to knock for you to advance and get some more reps or work in a different group, but they got to be continually working so that they're ready to seize those moments. I'll pause and open it up for questions.
Mike, it seemed like you guys are using a lot more tight end heavy packages, especially in seven shots. Are you guys expecting more out of that group this year, even without when passing?
That's not abnormal at all. You know, we're capable of using multiple tight ends, multiple receiver sets. From a personnel standpoint, offensively, we desire to be versatile and multiple.
Mike, is 24 to safety known about tackling?
I'd rather say whoa than sick 'em. And in that instance, whoa.
Is that his game, though?
We'll see.
Mike, you mentioned opportunities for others. Zach Gentry, how much have you seen him grow and made a big combat catch today?
Man, Zach has been a guy in development since he's been here. It started first with his body. You know, those of you guys who have been around, you know, he has really put on some weight and things of that nature and really embraced the role that he's in the process of carving out for himself. It's just been a nice natural maturation process over the time that he's been here, and it's reasonable to expect to continue. He's been doing a good job.
Mike, what happened on the play with Chase, and is there any more concern that you're already down?
There's not any concern. I really don't know when it occurred, to be honest with you. It's probably not serious, and so we don't have a high level concern regarding the question that you asked.
Anyone else? The chippiness that happened there at the end, is that something you discourage or you just let it play out?
You guys been around me long enough to know. I'm not going to answer questions about every skirmish that breaks out. We're working hard. We're competing our tails off. An environment like this is an opportunity to teach and learn, not only from a competitive standpoint, but a professionalism standpoint, working to keep it professional. And from time to time it happens. None of us like it, but it's a teach opportunity. And so that will be my response anytime you guys ask me about a skirmish. Thank you.
That was Coach Tomlin speaking to the media following day three's practice yesterday. And Labs, there's a lot of stuff to get into there, but how can you not sink your teeth into that answer that he gave at the end with the skirmish and the short fuses that we saw with a couple of dust-ups between Steelers? First of all, my first takeaway is that's the shortest press conference we've had, and it's gotten shorter every single day. And the reporters might have had another question loaded up or two loaded up after that one, but Mike Tomlin wasn't going to give them any more answers after that. That was clear.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about how over the course of the training camp, you know, he gets short too. He gets tired. And the one thing that I was happy about was that it didn't start off with, have you picked your starting quarterback yet, as a couple of the others have, because that would have just started off on a wrong foot. And he probably wouldn't have even lasted as long as he did in this one. Just a couple of other procedural things that if you noticed, nobody asked the question about the skirmish because you knew what was going to happen. You know, that's a press conference ending question. So if there's any other information you want, you know, the savvy media thing to do is you don't ask that early because that's going to be right. the end. And if and that you also heard PR director Bert Lawton.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Right before that question was asked, he tried to get out of it, and he said, anything else? And he was if that question didn't come instantly, Mike Tomlin would have said, thank you, and it's over, and you didn't even get the question in. But, you know, the media, it's a legitimate question. I mean, I want to make that clear. So, you know, these are some of the things that, as I'm standing there listening to that, you know, I smile a little bit because, you know, everybody's doing their job. You know, Bert's right. trying to get him out of it. The media needs to get some information about it. You know, Mike Tomlin is trying to get out of there as quick as possible. And, you know, he cut it off himself, so there was no follow-up.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about those little skirmishes for a little bit here, Labs. Okay. And, you know, the one guy that was a part of both of them, as you noted in your practice report, was Carlos Davis. I took away from it that kind of what we were saying at the open of the show here, these guys are just dying to get these pads on, man. You know, it's been 3 days now in a row of, you know, yeah, it's not exactly a walkthrough. It's a little bit more intense than that, but you can't exactly play football. And I mean, that's what these guys have dedicated their lives to doing. So once you get to that third day in a row where you can't put the pads on and you can't really, you know, exercise some frustration on the field, I just think it gets to a lot of guys.
It would seem to make sense. I mean, I certainly have never experienced anything like that firsthand.
We're both lovers, not fighters, on this show.
Yeah, well, or non-athletes, you know, however you want to describe it. But you know, the other thing is, you know, there are guys, you know, Carlos Davis is an example, and I'm no disrespect meant to him, but he is on the bubble. You know, he's not a shoe-in for a roster spot. You know, he was a seventh round pick, so he's pretty much got to establish himself every summer. So, you know, I can imagine, you know, Carlos Davis's personal situation in terms of, you know, his roster security or lack thereof. Plus the fact, you know, the Steelers are coming to this camp on the heels of finishing last in the NFL in run defense for the first time in franchise history. So, you know, there's a lot of those things kind of percolating. And as you mentioned, you know, if you're a defensive lineman, you know, being physical is part of your game. I mean, that puts food on your table. That pays your mortgage. And right. So, you know, you're kind of not allowed to do that. And so you're seeing how these things are going. And as you mentioned, you're tired of it. He had to be tired of it. And so, you know, you kind of let your emotions maybe get the best of you. And, you know, the guy that he was involved with in the first one was Kendrick Green. He's another guy. Now, he's certainly, in my opinion, not as much on the roster bubble as Carlos Davis, but he's alternating with Kevin Dotson for a starting spot.
Right.
He was a starter last year. He was a starter in college. And now, you know, you're looking at a situation where, you know, you may not be a starter. And so he's got some things that he wants to prove and show and all that stuff. And, you know, it's training camp. As I say, you're tired of looking at these same guys. You're tired of living in a dormitory. You're tired of eating the same food. I mean, you're tired of every day being all football all the time. It has a purpose, granted, but you know, not every day is unicorns and rainbows. I mean, it's just not. So, you know, those things happen. And the Steelers are one of the few teams in the league that do not put, you know, for example, a red shirt on the quarterbacks to remind everybody not to hit them.
That's right.
You know, Mike Tomlin has always been of the philosophy that, you know, you teach professionalism, you teach how to, you know, practice professionally and those kind of things. And, you know, I'm saying this isn't something that he said. I believe that he believes that if you have to be reminded not to hit the quarterback with a red shirt, maybe this isn't your profession. You know?
No. Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. You need to be able to think the game when you're out there, and that's just a little thing that you can do to try to instill that in people.
Right. So I thought personally that his answer to the question was about as effusive as he's ever been on the subject. Because he doesn't want to deal with that publicly. I'm sure that there were some words spoken at probably a higher volume than is normally socially acceptable, reminding people about that. And let me say this too. I don't know for sure that that was the last play of practice, but it became the last play of practice. You just end it. Because there's no sense in lining them up again, and you know,
you're asking for it at that point, right? Like,
right, you're right. Don't try, you know, don't try and dodge all the raindrops. It's just not worth it. Let's just get out of here before you know something happens and somebody gets hurt. And then you know, because I remember the time Antonio Brown and Ike Taylor threw punches, and they had helmets on. I mean, you know, how foolish is that?
Oh, anytime I see a football player throw a punch to another man's helmet, I'm just like, come on, man. What are you doing there?
Yeah, because unlike, you know, even in hockey, those helmets are not on as securely, you know, as a buckled
chin strap. Yeah, you got a little gap in the ear. Football. You can give them a nice little pop there.
Yeah. Or, you know, and a lot of times the face mask in hockey is just that piece of plastic
exactly,
that
right.
covers the eyes.
Uppercuts all that, day.
Right, that cage. So, yeah, it's you must be really angry and not thinking clearly to believe that, hey, I'm going to throw a fist without a glove on my hand, or not a boxing glove, without a boxing glove on my hand at someone wearing one of those helmets. And think that that's going to come out good for you. So you just want to kind of separate everybody and live the fight another day.
Well, one other thing that Tomlin touched on was something. Well, go ahead.
Not literally fight. That's just
yeah, we're done with that. We're trying to move on from literally fighting. One other thing that Tomlin said was something that you kind of talked about before we listened to him. And that was, you know, using yesterday as a learning experience and trying to grow from it, you know. You don't get better by being perfect. You know, you need to make some mistakes so you know where your weaknesses are and you can improve. So when we come back on the other side of the break, I want to touch on that. I want to talk about the offense during seven shots and throughout most of practice, just never really getting a flow for things. And I want to touch on the defense as well. They've been the star the first 3 days. So we'll talk about the defensive side of the ball, and we'll hear from outside linebacker Alex Highsmith as well. That's all on the way next on the Training Camp Report right here on SNR.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
Practice yesterday for the Steelers left a lot to be desired, to put it nicely. We just heard from Coach Tomlin in the past segment saying that they need to use it as a learning experience. And Labs, you noted that the tone for the practice and for the offense, specifically never really getting into a flow yesterday, was pretty much set out of the gate in seven shots. It wasn't as, let's say, up to the bar of the performance they set just the day prior when they won the first seven shots of the training camp experience.
Right. Rarely do you see it decided, you know, it's seven shots, so it's, you know, analogous to a seven-game series in the NBA.
Right.
And, you know, it was a sweep. You know, the defense won the first four reps, and so, you know, it's over. But and then they added another one to actually win the drill 5-2, and there were some plays made by the defense, but there were some other plays where the protection broke down. There were plays where bad throws by the quarterback. There were plays where nobody was open. So you know, it was just kind of out of sync and. Just not aesthetically pleasing in the least, but I'm sure that once they got the video, there were reasons for some of this, and I'm sure that a lot of that was built into the teaching moments that, you know, Mike Tomlin referred to that you can find even in a practice like that one that for someone like me, you know, was boring and disjointed and seemed to be pointless.
Now, I know everybody out there wants to hear about how the quarterbacks did. Kenny Pickett did not participate again in seven shots for the second day in a row. Mitch Trubisky was the first quarterback to get a crack at it, and he was the one that got swept. He went 0 for 4. Some defensive plays made by Terrell Edmonds and TJ Watt during that period with Mitch in the game. And then Mason came in, and to his credit, got 2 points for the offense right away. And then, like you said, the defense stole that extra game to go up 5-2 with Mason's last play. But you said yesterday on our show, you know, people aren't going to want to hear this, but Mason's been the best of the quarterbacks so far. I know it's hard to label somebody as the best in a practice like yesterday, but did you see more of the same where he seemed to be a little bit ahead of the curve than the other two?
Yes. And, you know, but just to be fair, one of the two reps that the offense won under Mason Rudolph was a blown coverage. I mean, the first play, Mason Rudolph was on the field. Jeremy McNichols, the new running back, or the guy who was signed as camp was going to open, you know, just like flared out of the backfield. And he was so wide open. There wasn't a defensive player, I don't think, within 7 to 10 yards of him in any direction. You know, and Mason laid it out, and he made the catch and kind of, you know, jogged across the goal line. So, you know, that was a bust by the defense as opposed to a good play by the offense. Now, if that's a game, you know, they all count the same. It's a touchdown, whether, you know, it's a great play or, you know, the other team messes it up. So, but even when the offense was successful in the drill, it wasn't necessarily because of something that they did well.
Now, blown coverage aside, it's fair to say that the defense has been better than the offense in the first week of training camp here. And I don't think that's anything that you can really read that much into being so early in the process. But, hey, we have to fill an hour, so let's try to read into it anyway. is that maybe just a product of that's just a much more veteran side of the football? I know there's a lot of youth out there, and I know it's not just, you know, the first-team defense that's making the plays. The second-teamers and the third-teamers have been making plays as well. But is it just clear that that side has a lot more of the veteran presence and, you know, they've been there and done that a lot more than the offense?
Yeah, I mean, you got, you know, the defensive player, the reigning defensive player of the year over there. You got a first-team All-Pro on the defensive line. And it's just, there's a lot more expected, you know, of the defense.
That's a good point, yeah.
Than the offense to start. And, you know, they're really not running the ball yet. They're not in pads. You know, there are certain things that, you know, kind of lend itself to an advantage for the defense at this stage. Now, because I remember when Mike Tomlin introduced the drill, I remember it was at a time where, okay, you had Bennett quarterback, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Heath Miller, and I forget who the other receivers were. And I'm thinking, this is unfair because they'd come out and empty. Who you going to cover them all? You right. Really think so? I don't. And it was like taking candy from a baby there early on. I mean, Ben was just looking it over. You know, guys would run quick crossing routes or whatever, and you know the ball was right there. And you know, what do you if you get too close, it's interference. You can't really jam because then it's holding. You know, you try and run covered with these guys in that short area. It's just to me, it seemed at the time, a virtually impossible chore. So that was a time where I thought it was, you know, pointless for the defense almost. Now it's, you know, the shoe's on the other foot a little bit. And the bulk of the seasoned talent right now, experienced talent, is deep on the defensive side. And, you know, in one sense, it's what you need from the defense. You know, they should be dominating. I mean, that's because I think that that's what this team is going to have to lean on, certainly early in the season, is this defense to assert itself, you know, as a superior unit in a lot of these games, or at least a unit that is capable of carrying the team on its back. But, you know, you also, it also is good for the offense to be going against this group, because, you know, once the game, they're in the games, there's not going to be too many games early where the unit that the offense is going to be going up against is going to be a whole lot better than the one they're practicing against every day. So, you know, one of the things that Mike Tomlin was asked, I believe it was Thursday, was, you know, because TJ Watt just destroys plays. I mean,
yeah, no question.
And again, you're not hitting or tackling, but he's so quick and athletic.
I mean, he got that, a sack in seven shots. I mean, it was a touch sack, but still.
Right. Yeah, and there are other plays where he's just, you know, he just blows off the line of scrimmage on some of those third down, when it's a third down period, third and eight, third and nine, you know, they set up a down and distance situation. Well, you know, third and nine, and again, as I said, it's training camp. You're trying to figure out who your starting quarterback's going to be. It's going to be a pass. So, you know, TJ Watt, he's not playing, you know, he's not reading anything. You know, the snap comes, boy, he comes off the line of scrimmage, and he's around that left tackle or right tackle or, you know, between, sometimes they loop, whatever. You know, and he's in the quarterback's face. And Mike Tomlin was asked, you know, he's kind of destroying things when you're trying to evaluate the offense. And Mike Tomlin said something to the effect of, I'm never going to try and inhibit TJ Watt from being TJ Watt. So, you know, you got that going on too. So anyway, like I said, it's I'm not going to blow this out of proportion, but I also think, you know, you look at it and, you know, call it as you see it. It was a bad day for the offense yesterday.
Well, TJ Watt's partner in crime at the outside linebacking position, Alex Highsmith, spoke to the media following practice yesterday. Let's hear what Alex had to say now.
Larry seems to really feel that Charlotte connection.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Just, you know, both of us coming from Charlotte, you know, being one of the few guys coming from there, it's just pretty cool. Larry set the standard by getting drafted in 2017, and so he just kind of paved the way for guys like me, Nate Davis, Cam Clark, Benny LeMay, Ben DeLuca, other guys from Charlotte who have made it to the league.
Your game, TJ said you're learning how to finish away from the next step.
Yeah, that's the goal. You know, double-digit sacks has got to be what I get this year. And so whether that's just continuing to improve and continue to finish my rushes, because I look back and watch my film last year, I was so close. There were so many rushes where I could have finished, and just working on the little things to just be able to finish those rushes so that I can improve from seven sacks to 12-plus. And so that's the goal for me.
Is there anything consistent to not finishing?
I think it's just continuing to work on my bend, and because there's a few times I noticed where I was ripping and bent around the corner, and the quarterback just stepped up or I got pushed by. So just working on little things like that, just continue to work on my get off and just my pass rush moves as well. So I'm just excited for the year ahead, and I feel like it's been a good start so far.
Guys, the pads coming on Monday. How anxious are you coming to the bench?
I'm ready for it. I think we're all ready for it. I think yesterday, you know, some guys were, you know, we were getting after it. So I think everyone's ready to put the pads on. It's gonna be an awesome day on Monday. I can't wait.
What are you most looking forward to for next week?
Just the competition drills and team run. That's gonna be a fun drill. So I always enjoy that one.
As much change with Terrell as a defensive coordinator this year compared to what Keith Butler did last year.
He's been great so far. You know, TA coming in, just being he's been great for us so far. So I'm just thankful to have him as our defensive coordinator. I know a lot of the guys are because he's been here the past few years, so everyone knows him.
Bam!
You got me.
So I think just a lot of guys are just familiar with him and just having him in the building. So it's been awesome to see him running the defense now.
So what changes on Monday, especially for you guys? How different is it, and how much more can we read into what's going on out there?
Oh, it's football on Monday. It's what you do. You know, the physicality changes. The physicality turns up a notch. The intensity turns up a notch. And so, like I said, I'm excited to see that. First day of pads is always intense, and so I'm really excited to see it. You know, hoping everything, weather stays good and everything, so we can just have a great day.
Backs on backers, something you look forward to?
Oh, yeah, always. Yeah, all the competition drills I look forward to. And so I like how Coach T says it's not football, but it's football-like. And so just really simulating those type of drills that you get in a game consistently.
That was Steelers third-year outside linebacker Alex Highsmith with a special cameo appearance, Labs, from Najee Harris, as he did a little drive-by there during Alex Highsmith's scrum. But one thing that I really liked hearing from him is the goal being double-digit sacks this year. That has to be the case for him. He's talked about working on his bend a little bit more, you know, closing down his route to the quarterback, making it more efficient so that the quarterback can't just step up in the pocket and get away from him. And that's all familiar stuff, you know, for young outside linebackers to really hone in as they make the transition into the NFL. That's nothing out of the ordinary for a guy in his shoes just entering his third year, second as a starter.
Yeah, and, you know, the Steelers are going to need Alex Highsmith to really complement, and by compliment, that's compliment with an E, T.J. Watt, because as of right now anyway, there's not a whole lot of depth there at outside linebacker. And so, you know, the Steelers are going to need these guys, their starters, to remain available and be productive, because it's not a situation where, you know, you can just rotate somebody else in to pick up the slack. I mean, right now, what they're trying to do is find someone or two guys or however, you know, it's going to have to work out, who can just provide some quality snaps so that those guys can maybe take a breather in games a little bit so that they have that burst of energy when they need it at a critical moment or a critical down and distance situation. So, yeah, Alex Highsmith came into this league. You know, I remember when the Steelers drafted him, Brian Baldinger of NFL Network, a longtime lineman in the league, posted a little highlight package of Alex Highsmith from college. And the point that he made, and he said he really likes this guy because he's coming into the league with secondary moves. He said, you very rarely see that from a college player coming into the NFL, because usually, you know, a college player who is good enough to be drafted, say, in the third round as primarily a pass rusher, 3-4 outside linebacker, edge player, whatever you want to call him, you know, they've been better than their 95% of the competition they faced during their college career. And so in a lot of instances, these guys have one move, but it's good enough that it works for them. So, but when you get into the NFL, that's not the case. And especially it's not the case after a few games and video starts getting around the league and guys are studying video and they learn, well, this guy can only do one thing. So you, as an offensive lineman, you load up to stop that one move. But he said then he was showing Brian Baldinger, meaning he was showing what Alex Highsmith is able to do with his hands and, you know, some secondary moves where if he came off the ball and his primary or initial rush was stopped, you know, he had the ability to go to something else and continue to push towards the quarterback. And, you know, a lot of times that takes years for young pass rushers to develop and learn and become confident enough in that, you know, to use it in a critical situation. You know, it's like a pitcher being able to throw a, you know, a 3-2 changeup with the bases loaded. So that's my point, is that this is a good critical season, big season for Alex Highsmith to kind of put some of these things together. In his interview, he was talking about not quite finishing, you know, getting close but not there, maybe bending a little bit more so that, or in a better way so that he doesn't just get pushed past the quarterback. It's his third season. This is time, I think, in terms of what the Steelers need for him, for it to come together. And, you know, he had 7 sacks last year. If he could get into double digits, which is only 3 more, but that's a big difference in the NFL.
Especially because the guy on the other side of him is taking a decent amount away from him himself. I mean, you might have a perfect pass rush, but guess what? Number 90 had an even better one.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's part of the competition, too, for Alex Highsmith. You want to be able to defeat the opponent in front of you, but you better get there before your teammate, too. There's that.
When we come back, we'll wrap up the training camp report. Labs had some individual flashes that he made note of in his practice report from yesterday, so we'll touch on those. We'll talk about the rotation at guard, Deontay Johnson's status, and, of course, it's a big day for Steelers Nation as the Hall of Honor class is announced today at training camp. All that is on the way next here on the Steelers Training Camp Report, right here on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
Before we get to some of the guys that flashed individually for you, Labs, day three's practice yesterday, just a couple of quick notes that I wanted to mention. The rotation at left guard continued. It was Dotson's turn yesterday. He replaced Kendrick Green, who replaced him from the day prior. So that rotation, we can expect that to continue. And Deontay Johnson, still practicing his hold in, was doing some work on his own during the team activities from yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that, well, certainly the rotation at left guard, I would imagine we'll see that moving into the preseason games, because really, if you're going to, you know, pick a guy there, you need to see it, you know, in as close to real football as you're going to get. The Deontay Johnson thing continues, and, you know, we'll see how it turns out. I think that, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, you like to see him come back, but it has to be, you know, at a reasonable, you know, a salary that, you know, fits with his place on the team and fits with his place, you know, among the league's receivers. So, you know, hopefully something gets done that falls into those categories and it gets done soon.
Well, one guy at Deontay Johnson's position has really been turning heads in the early going of training camp, and he's the guy I want to lead off with here in some of your individual highlights that you noted from yesterday. One play, Akello Witherspoon covering George Pickens, tried to make an interception, Witherspoon did, and Pickens just ripped the ball right away from him. Everything I hear, I was up there a couple days and saw him in person. The guy just seems to be the darling of the camp in the early going, and someone that everybody seems to be really excited to see what he can bring to the table this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's got it all. He's got the size, the speed. He has some of the finer points of being a professional wide receiver that other college players do not have this quickly into their professional careers. You know, George Pickens played in the SEC, played for Georgia, the team that won the college football playoff last year. So, you know, I would imagine that his experience going against that defense, that Bulldogs defense, as an example, helped him hone a lot of his skills.
No question.
The ones that he's now, you know, showcasing in his very first NFL training camp. So this is a guy, you know, and he can line up in a lot of different spots too. I mean, he's not just a, you know, as Mike Tomlin would say, a one-trick pony. So he is getting a lot of valuable time with the first group, which he deserves. And now with, you know, Chase Claypool's shoulder injury, you know, we still don't know how serious it is. Mike Tomlin did not seem overly concerned about it as he brought it up at the end of practice yesterday. But, you know, we'll have to see. You know, now George Pickens can probably expect maybe even a little bit more to come his way while Claypool gets back to full health.
Steelers are obviously looking for more depth at the outside linebacker position, and that's really an underrated battle and an open spot that could be filled by anybody really beyond TJ and Alex in the depth chart. And TD Moultrie, you noted, the undrafted rookie free agent out of Auburn, blew past offensive tackle Jordan Tucker for a sack during a third down drill. Hey, I know that you're not really going to be able to, you know, create separation between those guys at that position until the pads come on, but anything you can do to flash early is good. And TD right. showed up on the injury report at the beginning of camp, so it's good to see him back in the flow of things.
Yeah, his time on the injury report was just cramps. So, you know, that's something that I'm sure that was corrected with, you know, proper hydration, maybe a little bit of change in diet or whatever, you know, that the trainers right. and the conditioning people have in store for that kind of situation. But, yeah, we'll see. You know, Moultrie, undrafted rookie from Auburn. Again, you know, Jordan Tucker, it's not like he blew past, all due respect to Jordan Tucker, it's not like he, you know, blew past, you know, one of the starters, either Tukes right. or Dan Moore Jr. But, you know, again, and I use this line, I repeat this line, the late, great Tunch Ilkin always said, if you can't beat the stiffs, you are one. So, you know, that's how Mike Tomlin organizes and moves people around in terms of the depth chart and at either with the whole unit or the individual position groups. Because if, you know, Mike Tomlin will refer to it this way, you know, if you do good against the JV, then I'm going to give you a chance against the varsity. And then if you do good against the varsity, then you show you belong. So, you know, T.D. Moultrie needs to defeat the guys because he's currently third team. And there is no third team in September.
Right.
You know, there's first team, there's second team, and then there's working at 7-Eleven. So you need to defeat the guys that you're going against now so that you get a chance against the better players in practice, and then that will get you into the preseason games. And, you know, this is how you kind of build a reputation and gradually climb your way up the depth chart.
Zach Gentry, you noted, made a very nice running catch over the middle. Anything you can get from him in the passing game is really just going to be a bonus this year, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and it was, you know, I couldn't really do the play that Gentry made justice with just words, you know, because you really kind of had to see it. And it was a nice throw, too, because, you know, they weren't hitting. So there was that. At least you could be, you know, a little bit comfortable as the receiver, right, knowing you were in traffic, that you weren't going to get lit up. But still, it was a nice catch. He had his back kind of to the quarterback, so he's got his head tilted back looking for the ball. It was nicely placed. But you also, as a receiver, you know, you can sense that there are people around you. And it's an NFL secondary, so none of them have – good thoughts towards you and your well-being. So still making the play, caught it nicely with his hands, held on. There was a little jostling, but, you know, nothing major. But, yeah, it was a nice athletic play down the field as a receiver for a guy who still is going to keep his spot based on being physical at the end of the line of scrimmage.
And finally, this guy has also been turning some heads. In fact, he's probably the out of the rookie class behind Pickens, the next guy in line who's been impressing some people. But you noted that Kenny Pickett tried a quick sideline screen off the snap, and DeMarvin Leal just got super high into the air, into the throwing lane, and batted the ball down. And he's been looking pretty decent at the jump from camp, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, quickness and athletic ability, I think, is going to be DeMarvin Leal's ticket more than strength and power, especially early. And that's okay. You know, he doesn't need to be, you know, a banger necessarily. You can get the job done with athletic ability in this league, especially, you know, at that position. If you're, and he was happened to be outside a defensive end kind of position look on that particular play. And yeah, he got in the throwing lane. He kind of sensed what the play was going to be quickly, which, again, for a rookie, you like to see that because sometimes those are some of the things that need to develop as well. And he sensed that if the ball was coming out fast, so he got in the throwing lane, got up in the air, used his specific physical abilities in that situation to make a play, which is another thing, shows an awareness on his part. Which is, all of that is good. Checks a lot of boxes.
Steelers practice today is at 1:55 at St. Vincent's College, but immortality awaits four former Steelers at about 1 p.m. today as the Hall of Honor class for 2022 is going to be announced. Labs, you're part of the committee that decides who the class is going to be. I know you're not going to spoil the party right now and give us a sneak preview of who they are, but maybe you can give us a little insight on the process that you and the committee goes through to decide who's going to be the four each season.
Well, you know, one of the things that I like to try and consider, because in one of the early meetings, you know, Art Rooney II, the team president, he's on the committee and he kind of, you know, sets the tone, chairs these sessions. So it's four people that get inducted. Or chosen or whatever. Yeah, inducted. So what he asks in one of the early meetings is for each of the members of the committee to put forth names. You know, who do you think? And then you present names. There's some discussion of them. and then a meeting maybe 3-4 weeks later, after having thought about your names and how they compare to everybody else's names, then you vote. So one of the things that I always think about, that I believe that each class should have, I like a class to represent some different eras in franchise history, because you know this will be the Steelers' 90th season, and you know they're I understand that the team didn't start winning championships until the 1970s, but that doesn't mean that there weren't players.
Yeah, you don't just erase that history,
right? So you like to see some representation of the old timers, for lack of a better phrase. And then the other thing I try and hope for is to excite the fans about it. I mean, this is something, you know, the fans, this is something for them as much as it is,
no question,
you know, a historical thing for the franchise. And I think this class kind of, you know, checks both of those boxes. I think that, you know, when fans learn the people in the class, they're going to get excited about it. And it also could serve as a teaching tool in terms of exposing them to different eras in franchise history and some of the players who were good players and why they were good players. So I like the class. And you know, being on the committee, let me just say this, it's not really a hard job. I mean, it's not like there aren't a lot of worthy candidates. It's more with most of these guys, what I have found, it's more of a question of when than if. Because even the guys who were put forth in the discussion phase and didn't get voted in, I wouldn't say that any of those names are not worthy. You know, it's just
right.
You can only pick four. And so it's, as I said, it's fun. I'm honored to be a part of it, humbled. And I think it's always an exciting day. I hope the fans share my view of it.
Oh, they definitely do. If you're planning on going up to campus today for practice, make sure you get there early. You're going to want to be around for that announcement of the Hall of Honor class. And also want to remind the fans that the Legends photo op continues. Today is Charlie Batch Day. So if you want to go up and chat it up with Charlie Batch, get an autograph, take a picture with Steelers former quarterback Charlie Batch, he will be at St. Vincent today doing that. That'll do it for this edition of the Training Camp Report. Always a pleasure to have you guys listening to us. No practice tomorrow. Remember that. So if you were planning on going up to St. Vincent for tomorrow, there is no practice. So plan on a different day. We will be back on the air Monday morning, wrapping up practice from today and looking ahead to the first padded practice on Monday. For Bob Labriola, I'm Tom Opperman. Keep it right here on SNR. Wolf and Starks are up next in the locker room on Steelers Nation Radio.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone. What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in zone.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.